It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you all. And today we continue our study of the fruit of the Spirit. Today we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit named patience. Love, joy, peace, and patience, number 4 in the list. And to get at this fruit of the Spirit, we're going to read 2 chapters from the Old Testament, from the Old Testament prophet Hosea. So if you want to find Hosea in your Bible, that's in the latter part of the Old Testament. It's 14 chapters long, Hosea is. And the 2 chapters we're going to read are the 2 chapters that are not poetry. Say thank you. Yeah. Some of the Old Testament poetry gets a little hard to understand. This stuff is the prose, the story, the narrative that sets the stage for the rest of the book. We're going to be looking at the 1st and 3rd chapters of Hosea today. I'll actually bleed into the first verse of chapter 2 as well, because it completes the story. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation for various reasons. It does a slightly better job of putting the story in context for us. So if it's a little different than what you have in front of you, that's okay. Hosea chapters 1 and 3. Listen for the word of the Lord. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods." So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Hosea. And the Lord said, "Name the child Jezreel, for I am about to punish King Jehu's dynasty to avenge the murders he committed at Jezreel. In fact, I will bring an end to Israel's independence. I will break its military power in the Jezreel Valley." Soon Gomer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Name your daughter Lo-Ruhamah, not loved. For I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them. But I will show love to the people of Judah. I will free them from their enemies, not with weapons and armies, or horses and charioteers, but by my power as the Lord their God." After Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she again became pregnant and gave birth to a second son. And the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, not my people. For Israel is not my people, and I am not their God. Yet, the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands of the seashore, too many to count. Then at the place where they were told, 'You are not my people,' it will be said, 'You are children of the living God.' Then the people of Judah and Israel will unite together. They will choose one leader for themselves, and they will return from exile together. What a day that will be, the day of Jezreel, when God will again plant his people in his land. In that day you will call your sisters, you will call your brothers Ami, my people, and you will call your sisters Ruhamah, the ones I love." Then the Lord said to me, "Go love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and about 7 bushels of barley. Then I said to her, 'You must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. During this time, you will not have sexual relations with anyone, not even with me.' this shows that Israel will go a long time without a king or a prince, and without sacrifices, sacred pillars, priests, or even idols. But afterward, the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God, and to David's descendant, their king. In the last days, they will tremble with awe of the Lord and of his goodness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord our God, we give you thanks that you are good and that you remember us and that your mercy endures forever. We give you thanks for your word which sustains us and gives us strength. And in these moments as we reflect on it together, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me to all who have gathered this day, that we might learn of your great love for us and your great patience with your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and today, patience. So what does it mean to be patient? Does it mean not having road rage when there's a driver in front of you who's going a little slower than you want? Having patience, Lawrence? And you know anything about that? He might. Ask him about his trip to New Jersey. Must have been amazing. What does patience mean? Does it mean waiting in line without complaining about how slowly things are progressing? You ever had that experience? What does it mean to be patient? Hosea 1 and 3. This story of Hosea and his wife Gomer are very strange, a couple of chapters. They are a very strange story. They tell us about a man and a wife who is not faithful to him, but this is a metaphor that goes beyond the characters in the story. The metaphor is to represent God and unfaithful Israel. And the story that is painted, the picture that is painted of this relationship between God and Israel is of a God who is divinely patient with his people. He waits and waits and waits for them to return to him. God and Israel have been in a covenant relationship with each other since the time of Moses. When Hosea is writing, this is many generations earlier. God and Moses entered into this covenant relationship, and the people of Israel along with Moses. And the covenant is a two-way thing. God promises to care for the people of Israel, to provide for them, to lead them into their promised land. And on the other direction, the people promise to worship God only, and to not take in any of the other foreign gods, any of the other idols and other practices of the other peoples around them. But Israel, Old Testament Israel, was not faithful to this covenant. Time and time and time again, they ended up adopting these other local gods, worshiping the other gods of Baal and Asherah and the other Canaanite religions that were native to the land where they moved in. This was a repeated pattern throughout their history. And their unfaithfulness to God broke God's heart. At our vacation Bible school a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about what sin is. And there was the one definition of sin that came up in the materials there. And I added to it something that I've learned from other VBS programs in the past. Sin is something that makes God sad. We don't often think of God having that kind of emotion, but he does. Sin is something that breaks God's heart. Like an unfaithful spouse. God took the opportunity with the story of Hosea and Gomer. He took the opportunity to reveal his divine patience with the Israelites. His patience is deeper than just waiting in line without complaining. It's deeper than just controlling your reactions when things aren't going right in your world. God's patience is exercised in a way that allows him to practice both judgment and restoration. When God practices patience, he does so by judging and by restoring his people. God called Hosea to do something very strange, to marry a prostitute. The symbolism was immediate. God and Hosea were both intimately involved with unfaithful people. And through the course of this story, from chapters 1 and 3, we see that Gomer has three children, Hosea's wife. It's not immediately clear if any of them belong to Hosea. My guess is the first one does, because it says that she gave birth to a son for Hosea, but it doesn't say for Hosea for the other two. My guess is the first child is Hosea's, but the next two aren't. It doesn't say, really, so you can discern your own ideas there. The three children are given very particular names that are very evocative and meaningful for this relationship between God and his people. The first is named Jezreel. First, it sounds like Israel. It's kind of a play on words. Jezreel, Israel. And it also points to a place. Jezreel was a location, a valley, where in the past, one of the kings of Israel had been overthrown by the guy who succeeded him. Jezreel became known as a place where nations and kings were overthrown. And God says, name this first son Jezreel because I'm going to do this to Israel. I'm going to overthrow the nation and things are not going to be the same anymore. The second child is a daughter named Lo-Ruhamah. I love the way it rolls off your tongue, but it doesn't mean something very nice. Not loved. Not pitied. No mercy are other ways of translating that name. God has shown love and mercy and pity to his people in the past, but no more. They have strayed from him. They have wandered away from him. The covenant is broken, and he is not going to fill that role for them anymore. The third child seals the deal. Lo Ami, not my people. Back when the covenant was established with God and Moses on Mount Sinai, Moses standing for all of the people of Israel, God said to Moses, as he said many times down the road, you will be my people, and I will be your God. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Time and time and time again, as a symbol of their relationship with each other. But now, the people have walked away from the covenant. Now the people are going to be called not my people for God. And God says, I will be called not your God for you. It is a breaking of ties between God and Israel. It is a sad and painful scene of separation. But there is good news in this story, because the story does not end there. The story of Hosea and Gomer does not end with their separation and with her unfaithfulness. Neither does the story of God and Israel end with Israel being taken off into captivity, which is what would happen sometime down the road. Yes, God judges his people for their sins, but he also holds forward the possibility and the promise of restoration in the future. This is God's way of being patient. He judges in the present, but he holds open the possibility and the promise of restoration in the future. God is deeply wounded by his people's sins. He must call them to account, but he is committed to bringing them back. Someday, Hosea says, the people of Israel will be like the sand on the seashore. They will be called children of the living God, God's beloved people once again. In chapter 3, the story of restoration continues when Hosea returns to his wife and reacquires her. It's kind of a different world than we live in today. But Hosea repurchased his wife, paying somebody, her or whoever she was with, it's not clear, money and barley so that she could be returned to his household again. Gomer had not been faithful to Hosea. She had other lovers. And Hosea felt tremendous grief. They were separated, their covenant was broken, and yet he reclaims her as his wife. Something kind of strange happens toward the end of this passage. There's a period of cleansing, purification. We will not have relations with each other for a certain period of time. A time of restoration, a time of waiting, a time of being patient. This is how God works with His people. The covenant is broken between God and Israel. There will be a time of separation, and yet God will restore His people to Himself. There will be a period of waiting, and then they will be back in good relations with each other. God, I think, is patient with us today in much the same way. We are all prone to wander away from God, and God patiently calls us to account. He says to us, please realize that your choices break relationship between you and me. But He also says, please realize that I will reclaim you, that I will restore relationship with you again. This sequence of divine patience, this sequence of judgment and restoration is perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus came to do, to judge and to restore. Judgment occurs when Jesus is crucified and when He dies on the cross. And restoration happens on the third day when the tomb is found to be empty and Jesus has risen from the grave. Judgment and restoration, God's divine patience acted out in the person of Jesus, our Lord. When we realize that our sins separate us from God, the judgment of the cross is applied to our lives. And when we realize that we are given new life in Christ by the power of the resurrection, then we are restored into healthy relationship with God. In 2 weeks' time from today, two of our young people will portray this transformation in their lives, this application of the cross and the tomb to their lives, their acceptance of Jesus as their Lord. In 2 weeks' time, we'll have a service of baptism. I'm motioning here to our baptistry is right under this table here, in case you didn't know. The baptistry is right underneath the table here in the corner. It's in our worship space, which is appropriate. It's where we gather for worship, and baptism is an act of worship. And these two young people, Nick and Sabrina Torres, brother and sister, decided, as a result of their experience at the International Youth Convention this past month, that this is the road for them. That they are committing their lives to Christ. And that they will follow in obedience by being baptized as the Lord commanded. We'll do this in 2 weeks' time. By the way, I hope there will be more than just two. If someone here has not been baptized, and this is the time for you, if it's time for you to make this step of faith, then let's do it. There's no reason not to. If Jesus is your Lord, and if the transformation from judgment to restoration has taken place in your life, the water will be here. There's no reason not to. Let's talk sometime between now and then. You know, you have to sort of be prepared for it, so don't just show up 2 weeks from today. Let's talk before then, so we can get ready for it. It's important. It's a tangible expression of our faith in Christ and how God has been divinely patient with us. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. But what kind of patience? Not a patience that waits without anger or stays calm under tense circumstances. Spirit-filled patience practices judgment and restoration in a way that honors God. In our families, in our church, in our relationships with other believers, even in our community at large. If we are to be filled with God's Spirit, then we too must be patient as the Lord is patient. Judgment and restoration, what does that look like? Even in our local congregation here, we must hold each other accountable to the lives that we have declared that we will live. We are responsible to each other for following the Lord with how we live. So if someone in this church family strays away from the path of the Lord, it is our responsibility. If you see it, it is your responsibility to go to that person in love and say, I love you and I care for you and I'm concerned about this direction that you're going. You go to them one-on-one. You go, did you hear this? You go to them one-on-one, the person who's straying. You might be misinterpreting the situation. Who knows? That they can explain. But if not, then you're following the right pattern. Jesus instructed us to go to the person who's straying and bring them back. It's not judgment for the sake of judgment. It's judgment for the sake of restoration. That's God's patience. We belong to each other. So we are patient with each other. The other side of the coin, the restoration coin, is just as important. We must, like God, we must always hold on to the possibility and the promise of restoration for those who turn away. No one is beyond the reach of God's love. No one is beyond restoration, the power of God to bring people back into healthy relationship with Him. No one is incapable of receiving new life. So perhaps you are feeling distant from God today. Perhaps you are feeling like restoration is not an option for you. If that's the case, hear the truth. God is in the business of restoring people into relationship with Him. And that includes you. Perhaps you know someone who feels very distant from God, who is very distant from God, and you feel like there's no hope for that person. I don't know how this person could ever return to the Lord. How could Hosea ever return to Gomer? It wasn't Gomer returning to Hosea. God plays the role of Hosea in this story, you know. God's the one who pursues and brings back. No one is beyond God's ability to bring them back. Pray for that person. Work with that person. If you find yourself stuck in judging someone else, remember that God wants you to be patient with others, to work toward reconciliation so that the kingdom of God might grow among us. We belong to each other, so we are patient with each other. Brothers and sisters, let us be patient as God is patient, so that the good news of judgment and restoration might continue to find expression in our world today and into the future. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? O Lord our God, the great restorer and redeemer of our souls, we give you thanks for this word and for how you brought us back into relationship with you through the work of Jesus on the cross and through the empty tomb. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you in these days, not like Gomer toward her husband Hosea, but like the people of God, like the church of God, faithful to you through good times and bad, remembering that you are ultimately good. Give us grace that we might be patient as you are patient. Fill us with your Spirit anew, so that we might be your people today and tomorrow, in this place and in all the places that we find ourselves. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray these things. And all of God's people said, Amen.